Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Elite Gold to Gold Plus Diamond call for July. It's actually the first one. We have two of them scheduled for July, one here in the evening and one in a couple of weeks during the day for those who can't make it during the evening. So I'm super excited to see you guys here, and I'm here to support you in whatever ways you need supporting. I don't see Sandra here. She was the only one that filled out a thing, so I'll wait for her to come on before I address her questions. But yeah, we're here. I mean, I guess this is getting down to the last month. Next month will be our last month officially together in the 2019-20 version of ERC. And several of you have already signed up to come back, and so others of you I'd love to chat with more about that. We're lining up our new coaches. We've got most of those coaching spots filled right now for coaches. So I'm excited about that. And I'm here to support you however you want. Start with a plus, you know, a success or something you want to celebrate. And then we'll move on to whatever way I can support you. I don't see Sandra on yet. So, and I see Susan. Hi, Susan. Susan and Lynn, our great coaching team. So who wants to get started? Who wants to ask something or share something inspiring? Oh, I do want to say, I was going to say it later, but we can say it again later, but send lots of love and support to Paula, her brother, who she had announced had, you know, been diagnosed with a bad aggressive lung cancer, died just Monday. I think it was. So she is out. She got to see him before he passed. Fortunately, she and her other brother. So it's a big heartache for her.
It was Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday?
Yeah. And he died less than 2 weeks after the diagnosis.
Yeah. It was pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when I hear these kinds of things, this is why we do what we do, is to try to prevent that stuff. I mean, there's no guarantees in life, but there are certain things that predispose to developing serious illness. And there are certain things we can do to prevent it along the way. Like I said, there's never any guarantees, because we live in a toxic world filled with toxic emotions and toxic EMFs and toxic air stuff, but we want to control whatever we can. I was saying that, was it to you, Jenny, the other day about the serenity prayer, you know, grant me the serenity to change the things I can change, to accept the things I can't change, change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? And there's some things we can change, right? Because it's out of our control, but there's so much that we can change. And what we put at the end of our forks every day, what we spray into our environment every day, the kinds of people we hang out with every day, those kind of things, for the most part, the people. Sometimes we can't always control that because of family situations, but how we respond is always within our choice. And sometimes
our mindset.
And the mindset is so, so, so important, right? And, you know, yeah, a lot of us have had past traumas and things in the life that have shifted, and we offer support with that. I mean, Laura Fine and Kimberly have been amazing for teaching those principles. And sometimes it's a little painful to unearth them, but unearthing them allows us to move through and past and to learn how to accept it. And I think that it's sad to me, the kinds of things that the disempowerment that our current medical system imparts on people. It's like, you don't have any control over this, dear. Just come and take my nice drug and go under my knife, and, you know, we'll give you whatever the statistical chances are of surviving. And I think we all deserve more than that. Absolutely deserve more than that. And, you know, so my vision for the future is empowered self-care, that everybody learns, you know, what we're learning here. I love it when I get on calls with people and they're, oh yeah, tell me more. I'm like, is this too deep? Am I sharing too much with you? And no, tell me more. I want to know now, because when you know why certain actions are recommended, you kind of get it and it's imparted. You may not remember all the, you know, the myriad of biochemical pathways, and that's not what's important. It's knowing that there was a really good reason for not doing this or for doing this or for, you know, taking certain supplements or herbs or whatever. It really helps to stay grounded in it. None of us is perfect, so none of us does exactly what we're supposed to do. Unless there's somebody here who here does exactly what you're supposed to do every minute of every day. Yeah, right. Okay. But we make choices and we live with what those choices lead to. And the more we know about the impact of the choices, the better the choices are that we can make. So that's why we're here.
And Paula herself has said she's so grateful for all this information, you know, with her genes and everything, because even though there's a continuing struggle, challenge with her gut, she's in such a much better place that she has the wisdom and knowledge to know what to do to mm-hmm. to keep her going. And I know as we learn these things, we wish that the people that are closest to us would listen to us and learn from our example as well, instead of often they poo-poo us or thumb their nose at us because we're just not having as much fun as they are.
And sometimes it takes a long time for them to come around and start to ask, you know? So you may think that you're not having an influence on family members, but in reality, they're kind of watching, and when it's the right time for them, hopefully, they do ask. And I've had that with several members of my family, where my brother reached out about his wife, her diabetes, can I help her? And she sat with me, and she actually started sort of following, you know, with Sweet Spot, when you have diabetes, you can sort of spot follow it and get better, right? Not better to the extent that we all want to be better with, you know, perfect day one season insulins and all that, but to get to the point where, you know, as a diabetic, her A1C went down below 6. Her doctor was like shocked because they never see that, you know? So they reach out after a while, some of them, some will, some won't. I call him my older brother, but he's my oldest brother. He's not older than me. He's 9 years younger, but I tease him and I call him my older brother because he's my oldest brother. And I went to visit them in the fall, and we went out. He goes, I don't know what to feed you. Let's just go to the store. So I went to the store and I bought some stuff, bought some arugula and avocados and, you know, all kinds of good stuff, made some lunch. And he wrote to me a week later. He said, since your visit, his son, who's 21, is into arugula and avocados and is eating salads and avocados and arugula and all this stuff because he got influenced, right? And he said, yeah, and my wife is starting to look at that non-gluten pizza crust that you were telling her about with the cauliflower and non-dairy cheese. And so little, you know, little things like that, because they kind of look at me, I'm the oldest sister, and they look at me and go, why are we getting old and you're not? Like, what's happening here? And my sister-in-law virtually sat there and insisted, no, you're not the oldest. You can't be older than them. I'm like, yeah, I'm the oldest. No. Frank, did you know she's the oldest? Yeah, she's my sister. Yeah, I know. I kind of know. I've known her for 50 years. I know this, right? But they see it and then they go, okay, maybe I do need to. She goes, how do you do? I'm like, I will be happy to sit down and share with you how you can get rid of the belly fat, how you can, you know, get the energy you want. But you're not necessarily going to like it, because she was sitting there, you know, eating chips and drinking a beer at the time. I said, you're not going to necessarily like it, but here's the deal. So we all have influence, and you probably have more influence on those family members than you think, right? You probably do. And I finally had good influence on my husband, who's been sort of. Suddenly the last few months, he's been doing everything, lost the extra 20 pounds. And, you know, he feels great. Today he walked 8 miles. He went out this morning with one friend, and the friend called him back and said, let's go out again and drag the other guy out, you know, and they all live in the neighborhood. And they went out again, you know? So it happens. It just may not happen on our time frame, because we want to help them now, right? We want to save them the problems. So there's Sandra, who is the only one that RSVP'd. So hello, and I'm going to go through what you asked about and what you mentioned, and then we'll see what else anybody else has. So let me go back to the page that I had that up on. I know you were asking, you had a couple of things in here, Sandra. There we go. And You said, Zen in this craziness is my main thing every day. This week I'm enjoying the Renew Yourself 21-day meditation experience with Deepak Chopra and the Green Cleanse Week with all the yummy stuff from the farmer's market. Yay, way to go, right? Because in spite of all this craziness, we do, like we talked about earlier before you got on, we have choices. You know, the choices aren't always exactly what we want them to be, but we have choices and you're making really good choices there. So I really commend you for that. So being this is the third year in ERC, I responded to the email that requesting more information about the renewal options. Instead of receiving an answer, I got another invitation. So I apologize for that. And we can talk. They were supposed to send you information or refer you to talk to somebody or whatever. So happy to discuss that with you. Sorry about that. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I imagine there was a glitch and... You know.
What I should have said, and I thought I had said in there, was email coaching at drrita.com. That way there's no delay. It just comes straight to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you have a tooth thing. So you're ready to do the Dutch CBC, discovered you have an infection on a molar that's going to be removed in early August, leaning towards waiting until I think, especially with a CBC, because the CBC is going to reflect whatever's currently going on.
So it would be a waste of time.
It'd be kind of a waste. The Dutch may not be, the infection's not going to affect your Dutch test. So you could do the Dutch test if you wanted to, but I would wait on the CBC for about a month after. About a month after. That'll give it a chance, maybe even 6 weeks to give everything a chance to go down. You might, you know, be very disappointed to look at your CBC or your chem screen right now and go, why is my C-reactive protein high? That happened to somebody, actually a relative of mine, who looked at the CBC or the C-reactive protein, oh, why is my C-reactive protein 22? And freaked out because it was always 0.2 or 0.3. Well, it was getting over like a bronchitis. And it was like 6 weeks after he had the original, you know, coughing spells, but he was still having some of that and it was still in his system. So we waited another month and it was back down to 0.2. So I would wait at least a month or 6 weeks to do that. But you could do the Dutch now. The Dutch would be fine.
How about the blood spot fatty acid?
That might, because it's inflammatory, those pathways are showing inflammation. It may show a flare up if the molar's really infected. You may see some signs of inflammation in there that are not really what's going on for you. That's really, you know, what's now. What I would also caution you to do with this infection going on is work with your immune system and work with inflammatory, anti-inflammatory stuff. So are you in pain? Is it really sore?
No.
No, it's not? Well, that's good.
No, I work with a biological dentist. And what she said is something like my system is seeing that tooth as a foreign object. Mm-hmm. It's attacking it.
And it's attacking it. So there's some signs of inflammation on an x-ray. Is that what she said?
Yeah, there was, the hygienist was cleaning me and some pus came out.
Yeah.
So then she took an x-ray and then...
And then she saw that. Yeah. You got to catch it before it goes and starts to erode the bone. So...
Well, I have bone loss already.
You already have bone loss.
So technically what's going to happen is I'm going to get it removed. And then they might do a bone graft.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see if I'm a candidate for an implant or...
See if you want to do any... How far is it, all the way back or is it...
The second to the last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always easier when it's the last because it's like, you don't necessarily need that. But there's also the issues of looking at the chart.
The
acupuncture chart to see what it's related to. Is it, I don't remember what.
I didn't look. I don't even have to look. Yeah.
Which side is it on?
Here.
On the left side, top or bottom?
Top.
Top. Okay. Left side, back, top. Okay. Second to the end. Maybe Lynn knows some of that because she remembers more of her little charts than me, but what tooth it is or what it's related to. So you don't even know, you don't even recognize that it's there. But so some of the things to help with the inflammation, you know about turmeric and ginger and things like that, but that really helps to up those proteolytic enzymes in between the meals. that helps to break down some of those inflammatory processes. If it was painful, I was going to say put some clove oil on it because clove can help with the pain. But if it's not painful, you probably don't need that. Do you remember what tooth that is, Lynn, or what that's related to?
I was going to also say salt water rinses are really good.
Salt water rinse is very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So which tooth is it again?
It's either the second to the last, the top or the bottom on the left.
On the left?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the left. If you, I can share my screen and you can see this.
Please do.
Okay, so here we have the left, and obviously this is the top. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it's this one here, and that's your stomach and spleen, right? These two in here.
Yeah,
that's the top.
You said it was the top, right?
She said she wasn't sure if it was the top,
top or the bottom.
Okay, yeah. Well, so the bottom are your lungs and then your large intestine. Mm. And so which ones do you think, remember from your health conditions? I was thinking it was more the stomach and spleen, but...
it could be either because of digestion, right? So stomach and spleen has to do with the full strength of the overall digestive tract, even though it says stomach spleen in Chinese medicine, it's more like the overall fire in your digestive tract, and then large intestine. So it could be either one, because both of them.
The thing is, with stomach and spleen, that's your earth element. Mm-hmm. So that's going to affect you with more of the candida and the dampness. There is also the
candida.
Pardon?
I have candida.
I know. That's why I was thinking that. And then they both also have this parathyroid, adrenal, and pineal gland aspect as well. So, just from my understanding, things like being careful with your water source, not doing the fluoride treatments, things like that to help keep, especially the pineal gland decalcified is going to be helpful too. Mm-hmm. But they both have that pineal gland aspect to it. But that's why, because just from the listening on some of the calls, that's why I was thinking it was more this one here, because I knew this was earth element, and that is more related to, and you can have blood sugar issues with this as well. That damp heat and candida and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So
one of the things that might be helpful, and I can find you that chart and send it to you, but I have a chart of the Korean hand acupuncture. So it basically will map out all the acupuncture points on the body onto the hand. And you can basically go to those meridians and poke around, just like see what points, and you'll find, like with the tip of a pen, right? You take a pen that's doesn't have the point sticking out, and you'll just poke on them. And one of them or two of them or three, whatever, might be like, whoa, that's really a bad, that's really a bad pain. And then you can take those little beads, the pellets. Oh, actually that chart is in the elite module on energetics. So there's a chart in there related to it. And the thing I was using was an embossing tool, because it has these little knobby things at the end, and you just basically can poke around really well. And then you put these little pellets, and there's a link in there, talks about them in that module, and it shows you where to put those on your hand. You can just put them on like every day for an hour and just leave them there. The other thing that you could do, and it may not be related to these particular points, but there's some really powerful, they're part of like the power points of the acupuncture system, large intestine 4, right here in the crook of the hand, and then stomach 36, which is on the leg, the outer part of the shin bone, probably about a couple of finger widths below the, and you can look it up, in that same module will show you. And then the spleen, spleen 6, which is on the inside part of the calf, about a hand width up from there. And again, look it up. And you could put those pellets on there. Oh, Mine's tender. Mine's a little tender. And you can do some self-treatment to just help to calm those meridians down, especially if you're going to have them removed. You're going to want to give some energy into those meridians, because once you remove the tooth, then it's losing part of its energetics. And that's my understanding of it. So those are some things you can just do for yourself to support that. So regardless of whether it's up or down, you can support those three. And those are like the power points that, you know, on each meridian, there's some specific power points. And those are the three on those meridians. The lung, I'm not sure what this one is. I don't remember the number of it, but there's a lung point right around here. Maybe it's one or two. I don't remember. I don't remember the number of it, but there's a lung point right up in here. That's one of those power points as well. But
and
I don't
the lungs are the state of grief. So
yeah. So I'm not, I picked up on those other three because they're all related to the digestion. And I know that's where you've been, you know, having some struggles.
Does it matter if it's the left side or the right side where you apply this hand or the leg or?
I mean, there's some acupuncture theories that say you treat the opposite side of the body to where it's at. So, you know, you if the problem's on your left side, you would treat those points on the right side.
Okay.
When in doubt, I just do them all. I do them both sides. Because some acupuncture theories, whatever, believe that it's you treat the same side or you treat both sides. Like when I learned to, you know, attract, there's certain points that you, it's the stress points, basically. It's the large intestine 4 here and then the liver 3 down on the foot. And I would just stick it on all 4 of those and then stick one in their head right here and make them go to sleep. And that's a real nice way to calm everything down.
And the bottoms of your feet, if you get those reflexology charts, mm-hmm. you can also press in some of those. And yep. like you said, with the tender points,
yep,
that's a great way to.
That's a great way to get, you know, it's just to bring some balance to the system. And that's all in that energetics, that part of the elite module on energetics, which we did a couple of minutes ago. Okay.
And one last question regarding tests. So I'm doing this Candida protocol.
Yep.
So after I'm done, and I'm going to be done, I mean, the 3 months are going to be over kind of soon. So before I did this, I did the organics acid test. So in order to know if something worked or not, would you do the same test or would you do a different test?
I would do the same test because it's going to be the most accurate to do a before and after. You also did a stool test though, didn't you?
Oh, but a long time ago.
But that was a long time ago. Yeah, I would do the organic acid test because that showed those particular chemical markers that the bugs were producing. So you can do the organic acid again.
At one point, Steph said that she liked the gut zoomer because not only it shows the genus of the bacteria, whatever, but it shows exactly what it is that the Oats test doesn't. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's definite disadvantage. I mean, you can certainly do a different test. The gut zoomer, is it a stool test or is it a blood test? I don't remember. Do you remember that?
I think that's a stool test.
I think it's a stool test. So, you know, there's a lot of new tests out there, right? And everybody gets into their own favorites.
Yeah.
But any test that you do is going to show the state of the gut. It's just a matter of when you're trying to compare to see if your protocol worked. It's hard when you're comparing apples to oranges, right? You want to see apples to apples. On the other hand, you know, you did the oat test. It showed that there were some chemical indications that there were these bugs. If you go and do something like the zoomer, I think you're going to just more see the bugs, like what's cultured in there, which is very different.
Yeah, well, my question with that is, okay, well, my gut, no pun intended, my gut is telling me to do the same test in order to see it was.
That's my feeling. That's what I would do.
But on the other hand, I say, well, okay, yeah, if I want to know more what's going on, then what do I do with that information?
Well, if you do the... it's kind of like the stool test like you've done before, Doctor's Data or Genova, whichever one you did, where it shows you the bugs there, right? It's not always they don't always culture. Sometimes they're there, but they're at a subclinical level, and you see their endotoxins that they produce, which you see on the O test, but you don't necessarily see what actual organism is there. So it is very different. In an ideal world, you do both. You know, you do both at the same time, and then you go back and you do both again. In a realistic world, that's expensive to do, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You can also look at your, there's questionnaires out there where you can, and I think you have one, Candida assessment.
Yeah, we have a Candida assessment.
And the grant program. So go through that, because sometimes you answering your questions like that can tell you, you know, I'm feeling better here, I'm feeling better here, I'm feeling better here. And mm-hmm. just using that as a marker as well.
That would be a marker as to, am I ready really to get a retest if I'm still having all these symptoms? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you're feeling like you're still having symptoms, just to go back and do the thing again and find out, yeah, you still have that. It's not giving you more information in putting together a protocol, where something like the Zoomer or, you know, the GIFX or something like that will hopefully be able to tell you more information mm-hmm. about what's going on there, so that you can alter your protocol to adapt to that. Yeah. I wish that we had the Star Trek devices, one of these days, right? Where you just go scan, scan, scan. We know exactly what's going on, exactly where, here's what you do, and then you fix it. But right now we're dealing with tests, and they're changing tests, and there's new tests, and we're doing the best we can with the information that we have.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing. Isabel asked me to do a baking soda test to see about the low stomach acid, because I didn't want to do the HCL. I was scared about it.
Yeah.
And I burped. Not a lot, but I burped the 3 days.
So you took, tell me exactly how you did that one. Because
you put a quarter teaspoon in water, and you drink it, baking soda, and you drink it. If you burp, you have stomach acid. If you don't, you are lagging.
Well, so it almost sounds like you're creating you're creating the you know, the volcano thing we did with our kids, right? You take your kids and you put the ammonia and you put the acid together, and shit explodes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that's the basis of that test. I don't really do that test, but it sounds like that's what the basis is. If you take something that's acid and you throw in something that's very alkaline, and it has an explosion, that would be what the burp would be. So, you know, but it doesn't, it's not quantitative. It's qualitative, but not quantitative. Does that mean because we all have stomach acid, no matter how low it goes, we don't know it has zero, right? So it's a pH, and it depends on when you do it. So if you do it between meals, there's going
to
be...
No, you have to do it first time in the morning.
You do it in the morning, you know, it's just same as between meals. It's really where the stomach acid goes the lowest, mm-hmm. right? So it's saying you still have some, but it doesn't say maybe you have enough to digest a meal. But I don't know how you would do that after a meal, because you already got the meal in there. So there's, you know, there's not the open surface to do it. So it's not super accurate, but it probably means you have some stomach acid. Do you have enough stomach acid to digest what you're doing? And so some of that comes from when you do the blood test and you look at, well, my protein's still low, right? My minerals, I'm still having the nails that are splitting, even though I'm taking zinc, right? Those are indications that the stomach acid is kind of low.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Great. And I'll reach out to you or just shoot an email to coaching@toremindme, and I'll reach out to you and tell you what we have specials for people.
So you want me to shoot an email to
coaching@drreedandreed.com or ERC. Well, they're changing some things to coaching@drreedandreed.com. I know that'll come to me.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
I was also going to say, because I'm not real big on having people take HCL either, but Premier Research has a really good, they have an HCL activator as well as their HCL. And at least the people I've had take it have had good results without having the scary effects, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of taking HCL. So I usually will say, let's get you on bitters. Let's get you on some stomach, some zinc to activate your own body's ability to do it. And I really kind of hold the HCL thing towards the, hey, it's not really getting better, or there's lack of compliance. It's too hard to do that sort of thing, because it is kind of scary to throw all that acid in there and maybe not really recognize when you've reached your max and then start to have some erosion of your lining.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
So I just wanted to share that maybe that would be a more comforting way to take.
I'll have to look at that. I remember they came out with it years ago, but I never really. It's called HCL Activator from Premier Research.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Lynn Rose says for your tooth, she recommends oil pulling and rinse with 50-50 peroxide.
Yeah, I'm doing the pick, whatever, the water pick with a food grade hydrogen peroxide.
Okay, good. And I make sure you hold it up to the gum line where that pus was seen.
Yeah, I have a pocket there, so I'm...
Yeah. I did something for myself, and it's cross fingers lasted for like the last 5 years, but I had this really, I had a lot of wisdom tooth work bridges and root canals, yuck, and I had those root canals removed and then, put in bridges and whatever else had to go there, but one of them started acting up really bad about 5 years ago, to the point where, my whole face swelled up and my lymph nodes, and had a headache from it. So I went into the dentist and she's like, oh, you're going to need bone grafting. You're going to need this. You're going to need that. And I went home like, oh yeah, $10,000 later and all this invasive stuff. Do I really want to do that? So what I did was I had a syringe and I made a solution of vitamin C. And I just a couple of times, just this is not for the faint of heart, and I'm not recommending, do not do this at home, do not do this without doctor supervision. But what I did was I just took the vitamin C solution in the syringe and I, across and stuck it in right around that tooth, right? I just syringed it in.
Yeah.
Kind of like IV vitamin C, but for your gum line. And I did that maybe 2 or 3 days in a row. And I was really good about the rinsing, like Lynn said, with the salt water and that kind of stuff. It went away and never came back. So, there's things you can do in up-leveling your vitamin C. If you're taking the liposomal, increase it. Or if you're not taking liposomal, increase it anyway. Because I know
I'm making actually my liposomal.
You're making liposomal. So just up your vitamin C. And then, swishing, like when you're doing like the oil pulling is good and rinsing, but keep it in your mouth and swish, right? Swish and keep it bathed there, especially since there is a pocket and you can get stuff to go down there. So instead of just doing your C and swallowing it, hold it in your mouth. And that along with the salt water and the peroxide, that can help to cleanse it and get in there and help it out.
So, well, maybe I should ask for another x-ray before she removes the tooth.
Possible. I mean, the other thing that you can do is ozone, right? There are dentists.
Yeah, they did ozone.
Oh, they did ozone.
Yes.
Maybe you should get another x-ray. So do some care for it and then go back and say, before we actually pull this thing, can you do another x-ray to see if it's improving? And if it's not, then
yeah,
there's just so much you can do.
Sure.
Yeah. I like to keep my teeth. I've lost too many before I knew better, right? By the time I hit 20, I had lost.
Good to keep your teeth ready.
To keep them, right?
If they are rotten, then...
Right. If they're putting a stress, that's the thing that has to be analyzed, right? If it's the socket is infected and that's affecting that meridian that way too, and affect the nervous system because it can get up and into the brain if there's some, if it's a top one anyway. It's always that weighing it out. It's the seesaw, right? How do we get it, to know what's the best thing to do there?
Mm-hmm.
So Jenny said, I just started using the Healthy Mouth Blend oil from Aura Wellness. It has really helped my gums. That's great. And is it an oil that you're using for oil pulling, or are you just swishing it or putting it on your gums?
You can do both. I put 3 drops on my toothbrush along with some toothpaste powder from Primal Organics and brush with it. And then I put some on my dental floss. So I floss and it gets between my teeth. And then wherever there's a spot, like I clench my teeth at night, that's starting to cause my gums to recede from the way that, how tight. And so there's a couple of teeth in the very back of my mouth that have kind of along the gum line, it will get red and tender. And I just rub the oil on it and it just goes away within a few hours, the pain. And then I've just noticed they're not in those 2 spots. They're no longer getting puffy and red. They're actually staying really calm and it takes out the inflammation from it. So it's worked really well for me.
That's great. Well, the other thing I'm doing is once a day I'm using Dentalcide and actually create a really great improvement.
Yeah, I've been using that lately too. I alternate. Once a day I do that, and once a day I do the Primal Organics tooth powder, you know, and I just alternate those. And everything's, you know, they're not perfect. They never will be because they had so much work on them. But, you know, to keep from losing a tooth or having to do any kind of reconstructive surgery, be worth it. Especially since dental stuff isn't covered by insurance very well. And for most people, it's like, you know, maybe 30%, 40%, if any. So it's not cheap.
No.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you all for all the suggestions.
Yeah. Dr. Freeman told her to do the oil pulling. I've been doing oil pulling because I'm lazy. I don't want to spend 15, 20 minutes walking around, swishing things in my mouth and not being able to talk. So I've been using castor oil for it after talking to Dr. What's her name? The poop lady.
The goddess.
Marisol. Yeah. The queen of the throne. And she said that and I went, oh, that sounds good. You can do it for 2 or 3 minutes with castor oil only. And you don't need like a whole tablespoon of it. Cause it's, if you're walking around trying to do stuff while you're, which, you know, probably shouldn't, but it's a lot of oil in your mouth. Whereas just, you only need a little bit, like a half a teaspoon with the castor oil, and you just swish and swish and swish and swish, and then you spit it out. So that's what I've been doing with it. I was doing it every night. And now I've been doing it less frequently, but I think that makes a big difference too. Let's see. So we have Sandra just joined us, the other Sandra. Hi, how can we support you? And who else came on? Oh, we really have a lowly attended call today. Amazing. Good to know. This is typical for July. I was just saying this on a call the other day. It's very typical for July. We get a lot of like cookie players, just like it's too nice to go outside and go stuff. Okay. And Lynn DeBuer Johnson said she uses the Happy Gum Drops with CoQ10 from Living Libations. Oh, cool. I didn't know they had that with CoQ10. You just wanted to listen. All right, Sandra, great. I'm excited to see that you are coming back. So welcome back. Super. They start counting from them, so you still have them. What? Counting from them.
She said,
I see what you mean. So you have to use those to count, right?
Because if you say it's the second tooth, it may not be the second molar. So.
Right, exactly. It would be like, I don't remember where they start, but they go, yes, they start
from the,
that makes
from
sense.
The wisdom tooth, yeah.
That makes sense, totally. Thank you, yeah, for that point. All right, anybody else?
And that was part of that chart.
That was part of the chart, had the wisdom teeth in it. Yeah, okay. Right, in which case it would push it up further. I think I don't know if we have that picture, a picture like that. I know we have it in NEPT, but we probably should add it to the eating for dental health chapter, whatever you want to call it, module that we have. Okay. All right, anybody else? We can have a short call. I don't mind. been a long day for me. Nonstop since 10. Not that I'm complaining.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
This is Maya.
Oh, yeah, Maya. Hi.
Hi. I guess, I don't know if this is a question that's appropriate or you know anything about. I recently had an eye exam, mm-hmm. and they were talking about cataracts and surgical removal. And of course, I like to avoid anything like that.
Right.
And what I had them do was send for my old records to see how much they've changed or advanced since my last exam, you know, years ago.
Right.
So do you have any recommendations about that? Or is that, I mean, I've talked to people who've had it done and they say it's no big deal. But to me, of course, having an artificial lens, you know, is something I'd rather avoid. And is there?
Yeah. And you have a lot of vision problems to begin with. So,
right. But I don't think any of my problems, I think it's all retinal. I don't think that, I mean, I'm not aware of any weird things going on because of the cataracts, but mm-hmm. anyway, so it's not like I have anything bothering my, you know, bothering me or like any kind of floaters or anything that
And you're not
I'm aware of
haze or filtering, kind of a white-ish
filter. No, I have really good contrast vision. It's just, you know, I need magnification for reading.
Right.
Basically, so.
So you haven't noticed any changes in your vision. I will say, you know, I would always get a second and possibly a third opinion on stuff like that because a lot of that's what they're trained for. They see a cataract, mm-hmm. they want to remove it. Now, do I know mm-hmm. of any natural ways to get rid of them? There are a couple of optometrists, maybe optometrists, mm-hmm. but that are more natural oriented. Dr. Kondrot, Kondrot, and he claims you can get rid of cataracts with certain, you know, herbal drops and things like that. So he's worth it. It's Edward Kondrot. And then there was one that Claudia was talking about, that there's a book, and I haven't gotten the book yet, but I can ask her what the name of it is. But there's somebody who's like a natural optometrist, and he has all the different kinds of conditions, and then various mm-hmm. approaches, natural approaches for it. I'm going to just see if she's around, and I'll just text her to see if she... mm-hmm. the book. I didn't get it written down because I was speaking on her call when... she mentioned it.
And do you know what state Edward's in?
Oh, he's, I wasn't thinking of him more so much for seeing him. I think he's in the East. I mean, completely opposite.
Okay. At least so he's just the, like contacting online. But
contacting there and then looking to see, you know, if they have some protocols or what kind of things they have suggestions for. What's the name of the natural eye care?
Yeah, because the good thing is I was shocked that you know, like I gave up all the laser surgeries because they were and injections because they were making my eyes worse, not better. Yep. And it's probably been at least 6 or 7 years since I just said screw you to all this crap. And my eyes haven't changed in terms of vision, so that's really
that's usually what people judge when to get cataracts done. It's like uh-huh. as they start to get, because it doesn't matter if it's a bad cataract or a mild cataract, it's the same surgery, mm-hmm. right? And so you wait until you go, no, it's really is bothering me. This little hazy thing that's covering, it's getting worse. It's abstracting. It's hurting my vision. So then you could get it done. That's my understanding. I'm not an eye doctor. That's not my thing, but that's what I've heard from folks. Yeah, it got to the point where I just wanted to get it done, so I got it done.
Right. I mean, that's kind of how I'm feeling, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, because I don't think it's really, it's not dangerous. It's not like something that, like a glaucoma, right? If you're not really on top of it, that could go ugly really fast, right? Mm-hmm. certain things that can go ugly really fast and can be irreversible, you know, like retinopathies and things like that.
Right.
So with a cataract, if you're already starting to develop it and you look into, well, what natural things might help to reverse it, then, and it starts to get bad enough that you're like, yeah, it's getting in the way of my quality of life. So mm-hmm. I'm going to get rid of it. But I would, you know, I respect your desire. I'd have the same thing to not mm-hmm. get done. But I think, didn't you have cataract surgery, Lynn Rose? Somebody here had cataract surgery.
Yeah, I had it done this year.
Yeah. And were you noticing that it was actually obscuring your vision?
I couldn't drive at night. And, you know, everything had huge starbursts and halos around everything. It was terrible. And yeah. It wasn't until I had, and Susan can attest to this, when I had the first one done, I could see the difference. It was like being in a car with smokers, you know how the film of the brown film on the window is clean. That's what it was like, and it was a total difference. Yeah, well, you know, Susan, you were with me.
Well, what cracked me up was when we walked out of the surgery, and you looked at my car, going, "When did you get a red car?"
I thought it was orange.
Always been red. Oh my gosh. Yes.
It was a brown film.
Wow. Know?
So the color was distorted for Lynn, and it was so cool because when she walked out of there, she was just like a little kid looking around going, wow. The colors popped out for her.
Yeah. And they went downhill pretty fast. I couldn't wait any longer.
Lens off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next week, Susan is doing a FNC office hours call on vision.
Who's doing it?
Susan.
Oh, you're doing it. Oh, cool.
She did one.
Oh, you did it already?
Well, no, she did one before.
The one I did last year was, sorry, I'm out of breath. I was just doing goblet squats.
Good for you.
Good.
Okay. The one I did last year was basically just an introduction to the eye complaints like retinopathy, glaucoma, you know, all those things and what they were. Next week, I'll be talking more about all of the diabetic drugs that people are on, and then plus all the additional medications that people are on as a result of diabetes and how that just influences the eyes and stuff. But
great.
I'm having trouble making it sound interesting because it's really dry. Oh, well.
Not unless you're that person.
Yeah, right. That. And that's really, that's important. And just be your perky self and make some pretty slides.
It's pretty eye-opening, just, you know.
Eye-opening, yeah. And this is all stuff that you've really become aware of since working with Louisa?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When my clients come in with their laundry list of all the meds they're on, and I'm like, yeah, you know, where do I start? Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Cool. So you keeping busy over there?
Over where?
Louisa's. Do you go to her office now, or are you just doing it remotely now?
Pretty much remotely. We kind of lost our tempo with everything getting shut down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of, I really don't want to sit in front of somebody with a mask on for an hour and a half. I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
So I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Things
so, Lisa and I, I'm not sure what we're doing. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're both such powerhouses that I know you'll figure something really good out.
Yeah.
It's a great match, you guys. Amazing.
Oh, we stay in touch. We talk.
Yeah. Great.
Well, thank you for the input. That helps because, yeah, I don't have any of the flares or
your cataracts. So, Maya, I was, you know, just since, and I'm kind of speaking like from the perspective of working with Louisa, If they're not bothering you, you might just leave it alone.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Until it gets to a point, like with Lynn Rose, it was impacting her night driving to the point that it was getting dangerous. So it's like, okay, time to do something.
Right. Yeah, I don't drive anyway because of the retinopathy. So that's not an issue.
Anybody doing any of the surgeries right now.
Yeah, well, and it's thousands of dollars that I don't have either, so.
Yeah.
And evidently, Medicare will only pay for one eye.
No, Medicare don't will think pay you, for them, but it won't pay for all of the what you want, because I found that out. I wound up paying a whole lot of money because I thought everybody else said, well, you only pay $800 to have this done. Not
yeah,
10 times that, you know, so.
Oh,
right. Yeah, I heard it was like
they covered both,
you know, 5 or 6,000 or something, but I don't know that's not, I didn't ask the surgeon that mentioned it to me. They just, the office told me that they will only pay for one eye.
Yeah, there's a couple different techniques, and that's the difference in the price too, depending on your vision currently. So,
Yeah, it sounds to me like you wait. You don't do it unless
I had LASIK done a million years ago, and that impacted what I could get done too.
Mm-hmm.
You had LASIK that they can't do all that they could do without it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's kind of like my approach to my tooth. It's like, yeah, should I go in and get all this reconstructive jaw work done, and or should I just try to deal with it naturally? And it never came back. So, you know, unless it at some point it starts to cause a real problem, I'm not going to do anything with it.
Cool.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, I guess the only celebration I can think of is that I survived COVID without having to go to the hospital or doctors, just with homeopathy.
It was, so you did get it?
Oh yeah, I got it back in March, mid-March.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I because I have so many risk factors, I just hit it hard with homeopathy right away. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it was basically you know, it never got really, really, really bad, although it sucked big time.
Are you having any future, you know, ongoing weaknesses or breath problems?
No, it was just tiredness, you know. Yeah. It took a long time for the tiredness to go away. Yeah. And the fever I had was about 3 weeks, but you know, then that was under control, and haven't had anything since then. And I did maybe about 4 weeks ago get the blood test to confirm that I had antibodies, so and it did, which I expected. So
it's really encouraging to hear that, Maya, because you are in the high risk category because of the diabetes and, you know, all the other
diabetes stuff. And 65 and history of lung issues. So
the fact that you were able to, you know, through natural means really support your system, that's very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel very fortunate and lucky, and so, you know, especially with autoimmune stuff too.
And autoimmune. Yeah, you have a lot of risk factors there. So yeah, congratulations on doing that.
Yep. So, you know, and I feel, I mean, although I guess there's so many contradictions now about whether, you know, there's more than one, and whether antibodies for one covers the other one, or how long the antibodies help. I don't know, but at least it makes me feel a little more comfortable, even though I'm always masked and gloved when I go out. But still, it makes me feel less worried, you know, that I've already gone through it. So
they don't, we just don't know enough about it right now. And there are, you know, supposedly there's multiple strains, multiple different mutations. And that's just typical of viral infections like that, which is why there's no effective vaccine for flu. I mean, there's none for colds, you know. It just, they mutate and they change, even though they'll tell you there's, I wouldn't say that a 30% effectiveness rate of a vaccine is anything more than chance. So about what they have with a flu vaccine. You know, they'll say, yeah, the 30% of those people that got the vaccine didn't get the disease. Well, what about the 70% that did? Is that really working, or is it just random?
Yeah, or was that, would that be the natural numbers anyway?
Right. What would be, yeah, anything, you know, 50%, even close to 50% is crazy.
Right, yeah. So, okay, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So Angelica said, I take a lot of HCL and I'm fine. Yeah. And some people are and some people aren't, right? It's all just a matter of finding it out. I would be, yeah, diligent with bitters and ACV or both. I think I would do both. I like the bitters. I think they do slightly different things. And bitters, you know, because bitters really affect the whole digestive tract. I mean, they will moisturize and help the whole digestive tract to produce better.
And there's also different types of digestive enzymes. So you can take one digestive enzyme and then add in another. So I've recently started doing that with myself. I take a general digestive enzyme and I've added one that's concentrated bromelain.
Okay. With the meal to get the protein.
Yeah.
But you also have some issues with fat. So it's also, you know, you can have the separate enzymes and then just depending on the quality, the construction of the meal, use the right combination, right?
Yeah. Because full transparency, I recently did my own, for the first time ever, stool test.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And so based on that, I'm making some adjustments with the things that I'm taking. And so that's why I'm doing that. I'm doing a couple of different probiotics with some concentrations and a prebiotic and just a few other things. But that's just something to consider, is they have concentrated digestive enzymes.
Yep. Yep. I have a lot of people on one, I think it's called Lipo Gold or something like that. And it's really high concentration of lipase for people without gallbladders or people who are saying, I can't eat all the fat because I have that. Like you have that issue with liver congestion or whatever, fatty liver. Who was I talking to today about hawthorn? I was talking to somebody about hawthorn berry because I felt like she had liver congestion kind of tendencies towards fatty liver, but also some cardiovascular stuff. So we talked about hawthorn berry and actually, you know, getting the whole hawthorn berries and making an infusion from it, or getting a tincture if she didn't want to do that. So, I mean, it's just, there's so many different herbs and supplements out there. And a lot of times we get the point, we go, oh, that didn't work. I took that. Nope, that won't work. Well, what was the concentration? What was the ratio? What brand did you take? What form did you take? I talked to somebody today who had, she was taking an enormous amount of vitamin D and her vitamin D was 34. Well, it turns out she was taking it in capsule form. Mm. Right. And the capsule form, you know, who knows whether she's actually breaking down the capsule. Right. If she's having trouble with that, especially if it was a fat capsule and she has trouble with fat digestion. So get some micellized vitamin D, get the liquid vitamin D, you know, vitamin D patches, even they have vitamin D patches, B12 patches. There's a lot of things in patches for people with super impaired. And that might be something for you to look at, Sandra, for some of the nutrients that you're like, I keep taking it, but it's not getting in there, is to look at some of the patches. And, you know, you can walk around like a patchwork quilt with them all over your body, but there's plenty of places we hide under clothing that you can put them on. But there's a company called PatchMD that has a lot of those. And it's certainly worth looking at, because if the digestion's impaired and we're just like throwing all this extra stuff into it, it's making it work harder and not necessarily get through stuff.
I also started taking
Atrantil.
Yeah.
How does that work for you?
So far, so good. Yeah, I'm just doing it because of the digestive support.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's got the peppermint and the horse chestnut, the perilla mm-hmm. extract, and then something called quebracho, I think mm-hmm. is what it is. Anyway, so because I am a big methane and sulfur and all those
producer, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, and Entron Teal is something. If you've been to any of our conferences, they sponsored us a couple of times and gave us samples. But it was really formulated for IBS, you know, from people getting, you know, alternating constipation, diarrhea, or bloating. Like, and it can be used as a, oh, I have some of this and I just ate something and it really made me bloat out. And you take it a couple of doses of that, and it can really calm it down. It's not getting to the root cause necessarily, but it's there and it works. It does work really well. It was developed by an integrative gastroenterologist that I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Cool. So Nancy just joined us. Hi, Nancy. Let's see. Oh, good. Oh, he's in close to Tampa. I knew he's on the east. Okay, there you go. Thank you. I did a radio show with him. And then he did I think his podcast or something. He invited me to come on. Sandra says, I've been looking for the HCL activator. Take one capsule 3 times a day with meals or as directed by your healthcare practitioners. The HCL support program, one capsule of each Premier HCL activator and HCL after each meal or as directed by healthcare practitioner. Do you take that with their HCL in, or do you just take it by itself?
They have a particular timing on it that they do it. So you don't take them necessarily together.
Yeah, because this is what she's reading, is it saying take one capsule of each after each meal.
So the HCL, I have them take like right in the middle or while they're actually eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then the activator, I have them do like right afterwards. Okay. That's just what I've done.
Yeah, I think, yeah, talk to Isabel is a good idea because she's probably familiar with them too. I take a lot of HCL, Angelica. I would be diligent with bitters or HCL enzymes. Let's see. Lynn Rose said, I didn't notice anything from Entron Teal. So, you know, we're all different, right? Corbacho is a hardwood tree from Argentina. Oh, really? And Lynn said, I'm currently using Global Healing's digestive enzymes. I haven't used their stuff yet. I've looked at their videos and stuff, but I haven't really.
I like their probiotic, and it's very all-encompassing, and it doesn't have any, there's like no excipients that we would consider bad. And same thing with their digestive enzymes. So I'm just kind of trying it out. I like to rotate because it's just good to rotate.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's a good idea. Okay, cool. Dr. Group. Yeah. Yeah, that is. He's a character.
He's actually doing an immune support challenge right now. So, Yeah.
Yeah. He's in Houston. Yep, he is. All right. Anything else anybody has questions on or wants to share before we call it a night? We good? All right. So if any of you want to chat about whether, you know, what it looks like coming back, just reach out. You can reach out to your coaches, or you can send an email to coaching@drritamarie.com, and we can see what works, what's best for you, what you really need. And I'd be happy to chat with any of you that want to chat. Okay. All right. So, and I think, Nancy, I think I talk to you next week. I'll be good and we'll catch up there. I'm going to say open lines. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, bye, and let you all. There's Nancy. Hi.
Yeah. Sorry. I thought it was 8 Central.
Oh,
darn. I'm sorry, but I can listen. I'll listen to the recording. Listen.
Yeah. We have a lot of good conversations. Is there anything you have questions about or want to share?
No, not really. I just would have been curious what you were saying about, you know, next year and so on. But like I said, I'll re-listen.
Yeah, I didn't talk much about it. So if you want, just reach out, because I know Lisa said you weren't sure what was the best option for you. So reach out, write me a note at coaching@drritamarie.com,
Okay.
I can get back to you, and I know we're talking next week too. I can share more.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
With you next week. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I did send you the email, Dr. Rita Marie.
You did send me. Okay. I'll write back to you, and we can. I'll let you know what you know. We had globally in mind for third, fourth year, and beyond. But then I can also, you know, if there's anything in particular that you're needing, wanting, looking for, have questions about, I'm happy to answer.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I'm going to say unmute all. Bye, everybody. Great to see you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Take care.
Hello, everybody. Bye.